This is Terry Fenneman. Today is July 26, 2020. I am interviewing Abi Wabama, who is the owner and publisher of the New Rockford Transcript in North Dakota, for the Community Journalism in Middle America, Challenges and Innovations of COVID-19 Coverage Oral History Project. So, Abi, why don't you start out telling us how long you've worked in journalism and a little bit about your career?
I have worked in journalism for 5 years. I started working with the former publisher, Craig Voigt, in 2015, in February. And then I purchased the newspaper from Voigt in December of 2015.
And what is your newspaper circulation?
1,000.
And how many people do you work with?
I have 4 staff in-house, and then a few others that are correspondents for the newspaper that do produce articles on a somewhat regular basis.
So when did the impact of COVID on your newspaper start?
Almost immediately when the governor closed down schools in mid-March. That was the beginning of what we noticed. We also produced travel guides as well here at the newspaper. And that was more of an immediate impact than on the newspaper necessarily. However, I could foresee that the impacts would be not very far along in the newspaper. In fact, we lost our 2 largest advertisers within 2 weeks of the governor's announcement to close schools.
So how has your newsroom adjusted routines during the pandemic?
Well, I think one thing that we all should understand as journalists is that there is no routine. At least that's what I've experienced since I began in journalism 5 years ago. Every day is different. You don't know when something's going to happen, or you know, you can't plan hard news. And so I just reminded my reporters, you know, and everyone that worked here that we obviously have a duty to report the news. And right now, amidst a pandemic, there's more to report, and we need to be ready and at the top of our game 24/7. So as far as routines, the staff here is used to waking up in the morning and something changes by 10 o'clock. And so it's just a matter of keeping it in the perspective and going where the news is.
So you mentioned getting into journalism 5 years ago. What did you do before that?
I did a variety of things. I started my career after graduation of college in radio and did everything from on-air to website to sales for advertising. And then I did some direct mail advertising. And then I spent 5.5 years working for the local economic development organization here in New Rockford. And then was the head of marketing for a corporation or a manufacturer in nearby Jamestown for 2.5 years.
And who was that?
AgriCover.
So going back to talking about routines, what kind of safety regulations have you put in place for yourself and your staff when they go out reporting?
Well, it's more so staying in. We've conducted a lot more interviews over the phone and Zoom and, you know, remote interviews. If we have done interviews, we've tried to keep them outdoors as much as possible. And I've reminded my staff to make sure that they keep their 6-foot distance whenever possible. And that if the interviewee requests it, that they should also wear masks as well. The main focus of ours is on making sure that the interviewee feels comfortable and conducting the interview in a way that is to that end. And in terms of in-house, a lot more cleaning protocols. So, you know, for anybody that comes in the door, making sure that we're cleaning those common surfaces, anything that's been touched when they leave needs to be cleaned, making sure that we disinfect our own surfaces around our desks and our work areas in a regular routine.
So what is the pandemic like in your community? How many cases have there been?
Very slow. We have 8 confirmed cases since the pandemic began. No hospitalizations to our knowledge, and no deaths. So very slow. We've gone weeks without an active case.
How seriously do you feel your community is taking the pandemic?
I think it depends on who you talk to. There are a great deal of people that are taking extra precautions. I think the majority of us are taking some precautions. And overall, I feel that we're just trying to figure out how to navigate, you know, with politics and with the realities of the pandemic, just trying to figure out how to develop some sort of sense of routine or regular life while being mindful of the fact that this disease lurks.
Have you written any editorials about it?
No, I've really kept any personal opinion to myself amidst all of it. And I've done that because it's so polarizing, no matter what side you take. And so as an editor and as a publisher, the goal has been just report the facts. And if you're going to talk about people's experiences with the virus, let's put it in their words, not ours. And that's sort of the approach that we've taken to reporting on COVID-19.
In the early days of the pandemic, there was some concern that the virus could maybe spread through newsprint. Did that have any concern on you at the very beginning before that was debunked?
No, because I think, and credit to the North Dakota Newspaper Association and probably NNA, but I think there was some direction early on that it was not prevalent or was not a concern. And so, no, that there wasn't an impact on that in regards to us selling newspapers. It didn't have any impact on our subscriber base whatsoever.
How have you tried to personally adjust to having more breaking news potentially than usual, as well as working from home and office and juggling family and all that during the pandemic?
For me, the one good thing is that we moved into a new building literally the week before the pandemic, before the governor closed schools. And so now we are all 6 feet apart all day long. And so it hasn't impacted our time in office because we simply, you know, just I put in place those cleaning protocols and making sure that we wash our hands regularly and we keep 6 feet apart from each other on a regular basis. And so the impact has more so been on, you know, I mentioned the 24/7, where I became a weekly newspaper publisher because, you know, obviously there's a weekly deadline, but other than that, there's some flexibility in your week. So for example, if there's a fire on a Sunday night, yeah, I might have to be there to cover it on a Sunday night, but I don't have to write that article until Tuesday, for example. With the onset of COVID-19, there was this desire among readership, among the public in general, to have information instantaneously. And of course, that's a product of the, you know, the technology that we have now and the world that we live in. And so that affected us greatly in that it seemed like whenever there was a breaking story that was COVID-19 related, it always happened right after the newspaper went to press. And so rather than, oh, well, I'll just interview that person when I feel like it, or I'll, you know, cover that article when I need it or when I need to, and then I'll write it before deadline. We were starting to write articles immediately after and post them on our website to keep our community informed real time. And so that, if anything, that's the way our strategy has changed. We've written numerous articles in between print editions and posted them, and posted them on our website for people to be able to view and keep up to date. And we've been rewarded with increased readership as a result.
Do you have any kind of percentages or specific numbers you can give us?
You know, I wish I would have pulled that, Terry, before the interview, but I didn't. I will tell you that traffic on our website was up considerably, and I'll reference one particular topic or one particular article. It was early on. We were 3 weeks into our North Dakota quarantine period, if you'll call it that, and we had our first case. And the person that was that tested positive, I knew him well, and he actually called me up and said, I want to tell the public about my experience with COVID-19. He had traveled to Europe prior, and so I spent an hour and a half, 2 hours interviewing him, and then ran his story that very same day as the case number was reported in our county. And that story, last I looked, it was at nearly 14,000 reads on our website. And the average story that's promoted on Facebook, I would say a couple thousand is about what we can expect if it's a really good story that a lot of people respond to. And so that's, you know, a 600% increase. So it was phenomenal in terms of the numbers. And after that, I noticed more and more people coming to our website on a more regular basis to get information about COVID-19 and other local topics.
So talking about how much more you as a weekly are having to work, I mean, how have the number of hours you work each day or week changed?
Me personally, I'm working more hours, and it's not just the pandemic. I'm down staff members, partially because of the pandemic and partially because of other factors. And so for that matter, I think it was just, for me, it was an increase more in the amount of time that I was spending producing content than what I would normally do. Because a lot of times in a small community, the news comes to you, if you will, and people submit articles about their events and things that are happening and that kind of thing. And with the quarantine, people weren't doing many things or going many places. And so we had to go to them. And it's, for example, right away, the first week of the pandemic, we put out an email blast to all of the email addresses we had in our system. We posted on our Facebook page and on our website that we wanted people to send us photos of what they were doing during the pandemic. And so it was a matter of, and of course, then we would go on social media and we would look for those stories as well. So there was a lot more time spent gathering news than there had been in the past. And that continues even now. We still have to be on top of things and have to go out and get the information much more than we did prior. None of my staff members reduced their hours at all. I had told them early on that I had no indication or had no thoughts towards reducing anyone's salaries or staff time, and that I expected them to simply come to work and make sure that we had a paper to produce every week. And so for that effect, their hours have not changed.
So when you mentioned earlier being down staff partially due to the pandemic, what did that mean? That you had been going to hire somebody but then decided not to, or what did that mean?
That meant that early on in the pandemic, one of my staff members was quarantined because she had COVID-related symptoms. However, she, to my knowledge, did not test positive and perhaps was not even tested. However, because she is nearing retirement age, she had made the decision because of COVID-19 that she would retire or cease working for me at that time because she felt more comfortable being home and not coming to work.
How have you tried to balance pandemic coverage while still providing coverage of other things?
That hasn't really been a concern. When the pandemic, when the quarantine period was first and foremost, and the majority of people were staying in their homes, COVID-19 was probably in 90% of the articles that we published, and for good reason, because that's what was on the minds of our local community and our readers. And as things eased up and as restrictions were lifted and local events started to take place and sports went on, then we shifted. And rather than having 90% of our coverage being COVID-related, it shifted accordingly to the amount of non-COVID-related news that was that was happening in the community. And so as a publisher and as a journalist, I think that our greatest responsibility as journalists is to be a reflection of the conversation in the community. And that's ever shifting. And so I always want to make sure that the newspaper that I'm producing is a reflection of the conversation. And if COVID-19 isn't a big part of the conversation that particular week, for example, over the 4th of July, when we had several regular events happening, there was very little coverage in the newspaper, and understandably so, because we were, as a community, we were focused more on let's try to put on an event in a safe way. And I think we were successful in that, considering the numbers and how few cases we've had in the county.
So you mentioned doing an interview with somebody who had COVID. What are some of the other big stories you've covered during the pandemic?
I think in relation to the local nursing home and how they've managed to, they've seen a lot of changes and a lot of upheaval there in how they manage their business. And they've been a target because they're at risk. Their residents are at risk. And so one of the things that I'm most proud of is throughout this coverage, the administrators, they weren't very, they didn't want to be in the press very much. And they used their own methods of communicating with their community, meaning their families and their residents and their staff. And here a couple of months ago, when there was a situation with the testing, there being a malfunction at the state lab, several of our local tests were impacted by that. And four people had false negative test results. And I thought it was a pretty big day when, rather than them producing their own, their own news release or their own Facebook post or website post, they chose instead to share the article that I had written about what had transpired with the tests and how it had changed the numbers for the county and how that situation unfolded. And so I really saw that as them feeling comfortable enough in us telling their story. And that was a big deal for us. And since then, whenever there's been a development in regards to what's happened at the Lutheran home, I've gotten a phone call from the administrator before they post anything on their website. And that to me is a big deal.
Talk a little bit more about the financial impact and the relationship with advertisers during the pandemic.
Yeah, I mentioned early on that we lost our two largest advertisers, and that was a hit. However, I will say that our community has supported us so much. And I mentioned our readership going up. I do know that that is true. And I also have seen businesses come to the table to advertise, even the ones that aren't doing very well. So for example, our local movie theater, who was closed and actually remains closed because they're remodeling, but they closed early on by executive order. And she continued, the manager that is, she continues to run their weekly ad in our paper, and they did curbside concessions on Saturday nights, and they have not reduced their advertising spend with us whatsoever. So it's really interesting to see that community support as well. Overall, we are down about 5% for the year, which isn't a huge number, especially since we lost two pretty sizable accounts. And so I think, if anything, it's rallied the troops, if you will, in our community, because they trust us. They know that we're going to report the news in a timely manner and keep the public up to date. And as a result, the businesses in the community continue to support us financially.
And what's the name of the movie theater owner?
Glenda Collier of the Rockford Theater.
And so you mentioned that your budget isn't down much, but have you cut back any pages or anything?
Actually, no. I think we average a 12-page paper, and I do know that for one week, we printed 10 pages rather than 12 throughout the entire, well, since I purchased the paper 5 years ago. And so I wouldn't say that it's impacted the number of pages.
How do you see the business model for the industry changing as a result of this?
I struggle with that. I don't know the answer. While I see larger newspapers, daily newspapers in the state making huge adjustments and putting more of their eggs in the basket of digital, I'll put it that way, I do see the value of publishing digitally. As I mentioned prior, we've published several stories, and I don't have a number. I would like to probably find out how many it is, but we have published more online, and I do see that there's another readership that I think newspapers are missing out on if they're not online, or if they don't have a digital presence. So I see that, if anything, some of these smaller newspapers, I see them shifting some of their coverage online and, you know, using that as an opportunity to be more timely, because the timeliness of the weekly newspaper industry, as we know, is not the greatest. So if anything, I see that. I see more investments in an online presence to make sure that we stay viable in this instantaneous news world that we live in.
So maybe to expand on that a little bit, how do you think the pandemic is changing journalism as an industry?
Yeah, that's a that's a tough one. I think there's just so many factors, and the pandemic is one of them. I see that, you know, the desire for information more quickly. And, you know, we want to know what the daily numbers look like. And so I see there that that's certainly a factor is, and going along with that, though, it's really easy as a journalist to get pulled in to this, you need to publish something now mentality, or you need to be the first to break the story mindset. And I really do my best to balance that desire to be first and that desire to be instant with making sure that I vet my stories and I vet my my sources. And I have no problem with waiting 24 hours on a story or more if I feel that I don't have the best information or if I don't have all the facts. And I think that's one thing as journalists we all have to be mindful of, because the way things are right now, and granted, it might be a little more riot than pandemic, but still it's this whole time that we live in right now. I see more and more journalists where they're so quick to write what someone says because they want to make sure that that person's voice is heard, and that information isn't always accurate. And I see that that's a threat to the journalism industry, is we need to make sure as journalists that we do our job and we are serious about our responsibility to report the truth and to not get so much into partisan politics. And for that reason, I have, for the most part, I'm very, I'm the last one to publish an editorial. I would rather publish a news story with information provided by experts, scientists, you know, the Department of Health, than I am to write an editorial that talks about mask shaming or any of that sort of behavior, because to me, that's not the story. And I want to avoid that. And I think that the more that we can really sort of sort out those biases that we all have, because we are all biased. And I know that I have opinions about all of those things, but I think that my opinion is not as important as the facts, the statistics, the science. And I think we all need to be mindful of that in journalism.
What innovations have you or your newspaper undergone during the pandemic that you think have been beneficial?
Well, we officially went to the cloud with our files. And so now we can collaborate. I do have one staff member that's only here about 8 hours a week in the office. Otherwise, she works from home. And as a proofreader and writer, it's perfectly fine with me if she spends more time at home, if that's what she's more comfortable with. And so I think that's the biggest thing. She can access everything that she needs to do her job from her home computer. And so I think that's the biggest innovation that we've undergone. We've had the website that we currently have now for about 2.5 years. And I'm glad that I made the decision that I did 2 years ago in implementing that, because it has made a huge difference in us having the tools that we need to be able to produce content on demand on our website. So I would say that's the other one that we've done recently.
You've mentioned increased traffic, but, you know, are there any other changes that you've noticed with your reader base during the pandemic?
I've noticed that particularly during the the quarantine period when a lot of the businesses were shut down, that our reader base was more engaged than they ever have been. And we've had reader feedback, and that's the thing about, I talk about making sure that we report the facts, and once in a while we get something wrong. And so I certainly see that there's been more active readership of our content, both in print and online, over the past few months. And we need to, I've sort of slowed down what I produce in between weekly editions now, because we're sort of, in a lot of ways back to normal as a community. And so I've slowed that up a bit, and I've noticed that our traffic, our online readership has gone down again. And so if anything, that's showing me that I need to figure out a strategy to keep up that online reader, that online content into the future. I need to do more to produce content in the meantime. And that's been a struggle with, since we are for the most part back to normal, that means that some of the other responsibilities that I have, and some of the other product lines that I do as a business, including custom printing and promotional products and specialty publications, I have a lot of other duties besides the newspaper on a weekly basis. And so I've slowed down in the amount of content that I've produced in between editions. And I think that if I want to keep my readership where it's been at, that I'm going to have to come up with a strategy and perhaps maybe even hire someone else. I'm searching right now to find someone that's willing to keep that up over time.
Has the printing business been impacted at all during the pandemic?
We've actually been busier.
Really?
Yeah. And I think, I don't want to say it's because of the pandemic. It's because we purchased this new building and we have expanded our services that we do in-house, and word is getting out that we're doing that. And so I wouldn't say it's because of the pandemic. But I will say it never slowed down, even in the middle of things. I got huge orders from local businesses for custom printing and promotional items right in the middle of the quarantine. And frankly, it's what kept us going in the midst of losing our largest newspaper advertisers. So if anything else, it's helped me hedge, I don't want to use the word hedge, but it's helped me really sort of mitigate some of the decreases that we would have seen if we were solely newspaper in revenue.
How has the pandemic influenced you personally?
I think if anything, it's really made me, I'm a local person. I believe in supporting your local community, in people in your community supporting each other. And I think if anything, it's shown me that that's still there, and that's a big part of, why I chose this community, and that the pandemic has really reinforced that hyper-local approach, and in knowing that I'm doing the right thing. My family, my husband is also a essential worker, if you will. He works in a meat plant. He works at the North American Bison plant here in New Rockford. And there, we need to do these things such as wear masks and work 6 feet apart and make sure that on our off time that we're not knowingly putting ourselves at risk, so that we can keep everyone safe. And so it's this community mindset again. And it's having the conversations with my kids about, I'm not allowing you to see your friends right now, not because I hate you or not because I want you to be depressed at home, but because we want to keep each other safe. And we need to make sure that we mitigate the risk that this virus creates. And so there's been a lot of conversation in our household about mitigating risk and doing things to keep each other safe that we care about. And so I think that's been the greater conversation and has been the biggest thing for me personally, because, you know, I'm definitely more conservative than I am liberal. I actually put myself solely in the independent camp because there are some of each policies that I agree with. And so with the partisan nature of the world that we're in, I sort of find myself smack in the middle of a lot of different things and have influences on all ends of the spectrum politically. And so I just keep reiterating kindness, compassion, community support, and taking care of those that we care about. And so I've really ramped up that, that part of who I am personally. And I use that to drive me every day in terms of how I approach each topic or each article that's COVID-19 related.
And what's your husband's name?
Chad.
And how old are your kids?
I have a 16-year-old daughter named Macy, a 14-year-old daughter named Laura, and an 11-year-old son, Chasten.
So what was it like being a busy newspaper owner and having to help them with their schooling while they were, stuck at home?
I failed miserably.
Okay.
At being a teacher. It was definitely interesting. I had, my teenage daughters, they handled it just fine. In fact, my 14-year-old, she was already doing what they call personalized learning academy at the school. And so her classes were 100%, I shouldn't say 100%, it's a hybrid model, but the curriculum was online. And then they had teachers that were there as facilitators. So she had been doing that all year. And so for her, it was no big deal because she got her FaceTime with her teachers on Zoom when she needed it. And otherwise she was self-driven. My 16-year-old, she's a social butterfly and she didn't like being home. And she can't wait to go back to school with her friends, but otherwise academically she did just fine. Because she understands technology. It wasn't a struggle. It was, just do what we got to do. My 11-year-old, on the other hand, he's a straight C student, let's put it that way. And he really struggled with focus. And so I had him here at the office some days so that he could be undistracted. And I put him in the conference room by himself with his computer, and he seemed to do a lot better. But we had a lot of evenings where I was dealing with missed assignments and text messages from teachers that, he wasn't engaging the way he should in class. And so shout out to the teachers that were there to really be there for him and to keep me abreast of what was happening so that I could address the issues as they arose. I can't imagine, it reinforced to me why I would never be a teacher. Let's just put it that way.
We've touched on this, but what changes to your newspaper operations during the pandemic do you expect will continue once it's over?
I think definitely we will focus more on publishing content in between print editions and in our web presence. We need to be more regularly engaged with that. as well as we will definitely continue our cloud-based file sharing operations so that we can, you know, because the main thing for me is if someone is more comfortable at home, I think that might be a situation where if I want to hire someone now and in the future, I have to be more flexible in regards to, yes, you can write that article from home. Yes, you can, you know, make those changes or lay out that page from home. And likewise, if one of them would have someone in their household that was sick and they needed to be quarantined. And so I think those are the two main things. One thing it has reinforced that wasn't necessarily a policy for me because of the pandemic is my sick policy. I've been very clear with my staff since I purchased the newspaper and that they should stay home if they don't feel well. I don't care if it's a headache or if, you know, I have one that has autoimmune disorder, you know, and they just have days that they don't feel up to par. I tell them I want them to stay home. And this will allow them to stay home and still get their work done at the same time. And I think really as a business owner, not just as a newspaper owner or a journalist, I hope that's one thing that changes in our culture, because, you know, it seemed to be that it's been a black eye for someone that calls in sick from work. And I would rather that people take care of themselves. And I think that's been a great policy for COVID-19, because that way, if I've got someone that feels off, but not quite, you know, I'd rather that they work from home that day, or that they're clear up front with me that they're not feeling their best so that I can keep my physical distance. Because with the nature of COVID-19 and this asymptomatic carriers and this, I didn't know that I had it and I gave it to someone else, situation that we have, that will only keep us safer, I think. And that goes for any communicable disease. And I think companies in general need to keep that in mind. And a relaxation of the sick policy is warranted in many places.
What changes to newspaper operations during the pandemic are you most ready to just be done and go back to normal?
The asking someone whether they're comfortable with me interviewing them in person, that's probably the biggest one. Or having people walk in the door and say, okay, do I have to wear a mask in your, you know, in your business? Or, you know, I think those are the kind of things that, you know, or the, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to be interviewed because you might expose me to COVID-19. So I think that's, you know, that's the biggest thing. And then, you know, the idea of, and I guess that's not newspaper operations. So I guess that would be the main thing is do or do not wear a mask.
How has the pandemic influenced your views of the role of journalism in society?
Like I mentioned earlier, I really think that we do have a role to play, and we have to take it seriously in regards to making sure that we tell the truth, that we do our due diligence to vet our sources carefully, and that we aren't always, I think we need to not be so quick to run a story because it's controversial. I think sometimes a little reflection is warranted. And I think it's really hard as a journalist to not get caught up in those things. And I think that as journalists, we need to be mindful of that so that we can keep the public's confidence. Because once we lose their trust, and I see daily from social media commentary that journalists are starting to lose their grip on that, and they're starting to lose trust with the public. And I think we need to be very careful so that we don't go down a slippery slope, so that we can maintain our influence as the fourth estate and as the fact checkers.
So what do you want readers to know about journalism right now?
I want them to know that journalists are human, just as they are. And every human being by nature is biased on topics, and that just as they're struggling with to make decisions about whether or not to send their kids to school or whether or not they should wear a mask to the grocery store, that they should be mindful that journalists are in the same exact boat as they are. And that we are all trying to navigate ever-changing circumstances and seek out expert guidance on a regular basis. And personally, and I hope I can speak for the majority of journalists, the last thing we want to do is go down a rabbit hole of someone else's conspiracy theories or preconceived bias about a topic or a situation. And so I will reiterate the kindness, the compassion, the support of the community, and journalists are part of your community. And so make sure that when you read the newspaper, which, you know, what lens are you reading it through? Because we have a lot of things coming at us in all directions right now, and we're doing our very best to make sure that they have all the information that they need to make decisions. And we aren't perfect. We will make mistakes daily. That's who we are. So I just think that's the key, is I'm a human, so are you. Let's have compassion for each other, and let's find a way to all work together and be a part of a community.
What do you want journalists 100 years from now, who may be covering a new pandemic? What do you want them to know?
This one's a tough one, because I think back to when we were scouring the archives for information early on about what the world was like in 1918 during the Spanish flu. So I think about, okay, is that what's going to happen in 100 years when there's another pandemic like this? Will the journalists be going back into the archives? Will they be searching the website? This is really interesting, but I think I want them to know that within our newspaper archives, both print and online, there is a plethora of information on various topics related to the pandemic and the politics, and that if they want clues to how they should proceed, that all they need to do is go back and read the newspapers from 2020. Because I believe that we've done our very best to produce a newspaper that is reflective of what's really happening here, and in how the pandemic is shaping our lives. And so I think really that's it.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so, Terry. This was... there was a lot here. And I think the questions you asked pretty much covered everything.
Okay, this is the conclusion of this oral history.